get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Dan Campbell doesn't just like football. Dan Campbell loves football.
We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
Football!
Football, yeah! Football!
Football!
Yeah!
Football!
Feels like that should be a 15-yard penalty.
Do you know what he is?
Maybe multiple.
Do you know what Dan is?
He's
Cannibal Campbell. He's a cannibal.
Cannibal Campbell.
He's going to eat. This man just said that he enjoys human flesh.
This man gets his new charbroil grill, four burners, and puts a human leg on it and bites the kneecap off.
Oh, my God.
Of an opponent from last week. See, that's his goal. Each week, he tells a player, I will reward you with a bonus, with more playing time, perhaps, if you break a player and bring me his leg so I can grill it.
He flosses his teeth with another man's LCL.
Football!
Football, yeah!
Yeah!
Football!
Sounds like a football thing. Quarterbacks LCLs. That sounds like a football thing. Oh,
so Purple Daily with Mackie Judd and executive producer Declan Goff is presented by TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. And every single week here to wrap up the week, we dive into the YouTube comment section. We appreciate our YouTube audience. If you're not yet subscribed, please check us out. We have two YouTube channels at Score North, Purple Daily and Score North. And we're almost to 20,000 total subscribers across the two channels. So thanks to everyone who, whether it's Purple Daily or Mackie and Judd, we have a blast entertaining you on a daily basis. So let's go through tons of Kirk Cousins-related comments and questions this week, because we did a lot of Kellen Mond stuff last weekend.
Yep.
We talked about Kirk this week when we had PFF Seth on, and he had him in the MVP conversation. So let's just start with a couple of these here. Pollard Tools says, every single one of you will say you believed in Kirk Cousins from the start when he wins a Super Bowl. Go root for the Packers. Well, are you guys, if clearly.
Yeah, and he's a White Sox fan, but mm-hmm. That's Declan's problem. Yep.
Right, if Kirk hoists a Super Bowl trophy, will you finally admit that you guys were wrong?
Well, no, because if he hoists the Lombardi trophy, he will have changed. Like, he will do things he's never done before. Like, we're not wrong. In fact, this goes back to the day they signed Kirk. I believe we all said, oh, that's awesome. Good signing, right? And then we saw more Kirk. And we've learned a lot in the past, I believe it's 3 years, about Kirk Cousins. So I won't say I was wrong. I will say he's changed. He changed his game. And if he does, God bless him. Good for him.
I have no problem admitting I was wrong if he wins the Super Bowl. Because it'd be the one thing I've never seen happen before. Like, I might even get a Kirk Cousins tattoo. Like, I don't know. I'll listen to Creed. I'll get a number 8. I'll name my son Kirk. I will do not unspeakable acts, but I will do a lot of things to admit I was wrong about Kirk Cousins if he won a Super Bowl. If that's the answer.
We should come up with something, because I'm with you guys. If he wins a Super Bowl, we should come up with something. Maybe this is for next week's YouTube comment section. If he wins a Super Bowl, meaning that us being hard on him was either unwarranted or unfair or whatever you want, or we were wrong. What should we do? What's the bet with the community here on Purple Daily? Give us some ideas and we'll throw them out on next week's episode. Okay, Lord Snow says, leave it to the drooling plebs in the Score North fandom to think a completely unproven third-round quarterback, Kellen Mond, that they literally know nothing about is better than a proven top 10 quarterback just because Kirk couldn't win a Super Bowl with Washington or Minnesota. Oh, he makes about average money for a starting quarterback, which is overpaid apparently too. I don't get the animosity and hate. Must be non-football related.
Okay, first of all, it's not hate. It's about him as a quarterback. Second of all,
you like that?
How many times do we need to have the Mond discussion. It's a good pick because he is a third round pick. There's not immediate pressure. He might be a bust. I have no idea. But it was time to take a quarterback, and you have to have I don't understand what's so offensive to Kirk stands about saying that this puts a potential or this puts an expiration date on him as far as what you're going to have to do next. Like, are the Kirk stands in this town now bigger Kirk fans than Vikings fans?
That's what it seems. Honestly, that's what it seems like.
I don't understand. But where are they coming from? And I'm not saying Kellen Mond is going to be successful. What I'm saying is it's a plan to have a replacement, and bravo to Spielman, especially for deciding to institute a plan that's not named Sean Mannion.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on here.
A few things just to respond, because there's a lot of points in here. So I'll start with the average money for a starting quarterback. Two things off that. He has the third highest cap hit this year and the second highest cap hit next year. There are 32 teams in the NFL, so the average cap hit would be much further down than third or second, right? So he has a well above average cap hit compared to his peers. And if you want to talk about, like, well, that's the going rate for a quarterback, you know, if you're going to hit free agency, I think there's a difference between paying market price and paying a price that still gives you a chance to win a Super Bowl, right? Those are two different conversations.
Yeah.
Secondly, nobody is saying, I don't think nobody on this show is saying that Kellen Mond is better than Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is one of the 15 or so best quarterbacks in the world. No one is disputing that, all right? The dispute is whether you should be paying what I, like you say, Lord Snow, you say he's a bona fide, proven top 10 quarterback. And I would say, yeah, I mean, there's been a couple PFF grades where they've had him in the top 10. And if you want to look at some of the back of the football card numbers, in my opinion, in terms of influence on winning games, he's not in the top 10. When you account for improvisational skills, how do you perform against the best teams? What sort of leadership qualities do you have, right? He's a good quarterback with a great, accurate arm at times who lacks in all these other areas. And that's a big reason why his teams are 500 in his career as a starter, right? So, I mean, you can throw around like, well, he's top 10 in passer rating. All right, well, why have none of his teams ever come close to winning a Super Bowl? Is he just the unluckiest guy ever? And if he has these limitations, then the money is too much. And that's the argument. The argument, like, no one's saying he's a garbage quarterback. No one's saying that Kellen Mond is better than Kirk Cousins. Those are straw man arguments that you're just pulling out of thin air. So,
but aren't you
end rant?
But aren't you a Vikings fan first? So, like, you should be happy that they're trying to plan.
Yeah.
Like that. But this is what I don't get. This is not about. This shouldn't ever be about a player. This should always be about your team.
Yeah. Right? Are you ripping the Vikings for drafting Kellen Mond?
Right. But and nobody. Yeah. I'm very confused. I'm legitimately confused as to what the Kirk stands want.
Not a Super Bowl, right?
But I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's just weird. I don't get it.
Let's raise our standards here, too. Here's the other thing, okay? Not to turn this into a big, you know, Kirk Cousins rant, but he threw 11 interceptions in the first six games of the year, if I'm not mistaken. And it's like, and the Vikings started 1-5. Mm-hmm. Were there other things wrong, too? Was the offensive line bad, too? Yeah, of course. But like, he threw 11 interceptions in the first six games, and the Vikings started 1-5. And it's like we have completely dismissed and forgotten about that, or we've just like allowed it to be okay because when the pressure came off the rest of the year, he performed at the best level that he's performed at, right?
Yeah.
And so my point here is, why can't we raise our expectations? Why is it like, I get that you played well in the second half, but the like you were digging out of a ridiculous hole and they couldn't dig out because they started 1-5, right? Mm-hmm. Why are we just looking at 11 picks in six games and melting down in pressure moments? Like, why are we looking at that and dismissing it because he beat the Jaguars and the Panthers in the second half of the season, right? So, and again, it's a team sport. It's not just all on Kirk. There's other factors in play here, but right. In general, I just feel like there's an amazing gravitational pull toward good, not great with everything involving the Vikings and the quarterback position. And we're just okay with everything being good and 9 wins. And if we can just flirt with the playoffs, raise your expectations. It's okay.
And I think a lot of fans of the Vikings feel like we do as far as what we're discussing here. But there's this church or cult of Kirk is what I don't get. And I don't think it's a huge, like, I don't think it's massive, but there's a definite cult of Kirk. And it's like, we need to purge that. Like, there needs to be a ritual or something to get you out of the cult of Kirk and rejoin society, which is functioning and trying to win football games. And, but I'm not trying to imply that all Vikings fans are in the cult of Kirk. You're not. So just to be clear, I'm not insulting you, but there is this weird, like, yeah, like Kirk Cousins is my quarterback. It's like, what are you doing? Stop with that.
That's yeah. All right. Next one here from David McClendon. Judd nailed it earlier this week on an episode. I'm a musician with performance anxiety, and I watch Kirk play and see myself in his decision-making. If it isn't perfect, analysis paralysis followed by the fetal position. I understand this mindset deeply, and Judd articulated it perfectly. Kirk is a perfectionist who second-guesses everything and could be an all-time great if he would let go of fear of failure. I love this point because when everything is perfect, he is great. When the pocket's clean and the pressure's off and the wide receiver gets, you know, 2 feet of separation, right? Like, and everything's in rhythm, man, you're not going to find many guys that can drop a dime like Kirk Cousins in the NFL, like straight up. But it's really, 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 really hard to beat the best teams and to win playoff games and to win a Super Bowl with everything always being perfect. You know, how many of the – we talked about this with PFF Seth earlier this week on the show. When you think of, like, the iconic plays that win playoff games and Super Bowls, right, they're always off script. They're always, it's always like John Elway helicopter spinning or Brett Favre rolling out to the right or, you know, Eli Manning, like, avoiding two defensive edge rushers to throw a ball down the field and a guy pins a ball, like – how are you – like, I get it. Almost every quarterback in the NFL is going to be pretty darn good when everything's perfect, right? In the instances where it's not, how much value are you adding? And that's the room for growth. So I actually love the way that Judd put it earlier this week and the way that David laid it out as a musician when it comes to, like, oh, God, the bass player just went on a riff and I don't know what we're doing.
My question to that point, though, is can you change it? Like, that's not a sports thing. That's a life thing. Look – as far as Kirk's personal life goes, when I saw the story about the rocks, he takes a rock out or puts a rock in.
He's a glass tube of rocks.
Right. But I mean, that is
month until he dies.
Yeah. But a doctor will tell you, like, that's a clinical, like that's him keeping an order of sorts that he needs to, which then translates to his personality on the field. And I don't know that you can break that. I mean, perhaps through some time, he's not a young athlete at this point. So I don't know how you create a situation where literally in his life, you say, if it's not perfect, it's fine. Cause that's not how your brain works. Like, I'm not even faulting him. It's how his brain works.
He's very organized and meticulous. And yes.
What's that called? Where you have to
OCD?
Have, yes. He's all, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's
those things probably, like, him being that meticulous and OCD probably has led him to maximize his skill set to become a $30 million professional athlete, right? To be a fourth round pick.
But there's a ceiling on it.
Yeah. Yep. Thorvald, just so many Kirk Cousins comments this week. Thorvald Von Johnson says, all right, let's assume that you're right, Phil, and Kirk's contract is keeping the Vikings out of Super Bowl contention. What exactly do you spend his money on, and who do you jettison from the team? After the draft, I'm not sure the money gets you significant. Well, the second part of this is, I'm not talking about spending it now. Like, it's a sunk cost for 2021, but
the answer, yeah.
It's going forward. You know, let's say going forward, they just couldn't reach an agreement and the Vikings decide, listen, we're not going to play on a $45 million cap hit next year, buddy. We can't do this. And if you don't want to restructure or if we don't want to go beyond 2022, then we have to trade you. So now you've saved, you'd have to eat the $10 million. Kellen Mond makes one. So you'd wind up saving like $34 million to the cap. So what would we spend that money on? Well, it depends on what's available in free agency, but you start with your own guy. Like, who would you need to extend and make happy, right? You might have to push some Danielle Hunter extension into next year,
yep.
Brian O'Neill extension into next year. But it would give you the luxury when you don't have a highly paid quarterback. Like the Chiefs restructured Pat Mahomes after they gave him that big contract. They restructured him from like a $35 or a $40 million cap hit for this year down to $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he still gets paid the same. It's all like it's a 10-year chunk and it's just being shuffled around, right? But for this year, they moved his cap number down to 7 so that they could go and overpay for a left guard. That's the type of thing that you can do when your quarterback makes less money. When you don't have that luxury, then you wind up with, I don't know, Dakota Dozier playing left guard for you for a full season.
Right? Well, and look, if they had the cash, then the Dalvin Cook contract extension that he got last year becomes very simple. The reason why I argued against it was because you need to pay guys, and at some point in time, when your quarterback is being paid as much to the cap, and this is what this whole discussion is not about salary. We don't care about that. We care about the cap. When you are paying Kirk what you're paying him, can you really afford to sign a guy at a position like running back, which is important? I'm not trying to say it's not, but it's not one of the most important. And that's the problem. I think the key thing here is you got to find a quarterback, and ideally you develop him, but you find a quarterback who can turn into at least what appears to be a franchise guy, Phil. And I think what we're seeing here as the most important thing too is you develop a partnership then too. Like it's always, and it can be, the quarterback who defers cap hits back, right, and helps you out. Like Kirk is very much an employee. He is an employee. Like he is trying to break the bank. And God bless him for it. You know what? It's pro sports. Get what you can get. That's great. But if you look at the teams that are successful and the teams that develop QBs, I mean, think about before the falling out, the Patriots and Brady. How many times did Tom basically go back to them and be like, okay, let's do this, let's do that? It was a partnership. So I think that's the – and Kirk and the Vikings, to be very clear, are not partners. They're employee, employer.
He's a mercenary. He's been a mercenary for 3 years, right? Ned Steinwand on Purple Daily YouTube says, love your podcast. I used to listen to KFan Fanline after each Vikings game. But now I listen to you guys. Love your team dynamics. New name for Judd. I like to refer to him as GM Judd.
Oh.
GM Judd.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Right. Twins, also, Vikings, Wild. Wolves, not so much.
Thanks for making the switch.
Yeah, we do appreciate that.
Maybe that's the tagline of the show. Make the switch.
Isn't it crazy when we like embrace fun and like national topics and not talk about farts all the time? Like, I think that's great, personally. I love all
that. You know, that's the type of cheap shot that I will
what
not.
Cheap shot?
I won't.
What cheap shot? I'm just stating what we do, what they do. You know, I'm just stating a fact.
Well, everybody farts, Declan.
You don't want to hear mine. They're bad.
Everybody farts. T-Jack fan says, the Sunday Night Football song. Oh, this is great. Let me cue this up here, okay? Love when people bring this up. The Sunday Night Football song gets me pumped up no matter what game is on. My fiance thinks it's funny that I get so moved by a pregame tune. I mean, who wouldn't? Come on now.
TJ? Is that...
Hey, honey, how are you? I'm watching football all night long.
Leave me alone.
Here's the thing, TJ. Put this as your alarm and begin your day with the intensity of a football game.
Can you imagine just...
I'm waking up now. Gonna get a cup of coffee and a shower. I'm going... Exactly.
Brushing my teeth now.
You know
swish,
who does
swish
this?
Some mouthwash now.
You know who does this? I bet you every day. Cannibal Campbell.
Clearly.
Campbell wakes up and the first thing he does is let's get some meat on the grill.
Final question here, because Judd's camera feed and microphone cut out when Declan and I talked about this earlier in the week. West Coast Duke. Yeah, Joe Burrow isn't afraid to take hits. That's why he didn't finish the season. Say what you want, but Kirk Cousins is there every single week. And he's referring to Justin Jefferson's comments about how Joe Burrow is just more confident and swaggy on the field and isn't afraid to take a hit. So, Joe, what are your thoughts on Justin Jefferson's comments from this week?
I actually wrote about this for ScoreNorth.com. I loved the comments. He's being honest, and I felt there was very little in there that was actually, like, I interpreted as a rip of Kirk. Look, Jefferson to me is, he's not going to tell you probably everything he thinks, but I thought his comments were spot on. Didn't you guys? Like, I liked it. I applauded. Tell the truth. But as far as saying it's time that, you know, if we had taken Fields or by taking Mond, that's a plan. Yeah, he's right. That's a plan. Yeah. Here's my most important takeaway as we try to interpret Jefferson and Kirk, where it's different than like Diggs and Kirk. Okay. Justin Jefferson is a young man. He's not, I don't believe he's 22 yet. And he is going to spend the majority of his career, hopefully for the Vikings' sake, with Kellen Mond. But it's not going to be with Kirk. Kirk is what, 32? Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, in Jefferson's mind, I mean, think about when you were his age and you saw a person in their 30s. He's an old man. And I mean, that doesn't mean that he's not important. But I mean, Justin Jefferson doesn't look at Kirk as this is my teammate for life. We're going to ride together. He looks at Kirk as what Kirk is. So like, we need to stop thinking it's a big deal unless he comes out and says Kirk Cousins is ass, like Griffin did. Okay, that's a big deal. But if he's going to talk about what's going to happen with the team eventually, or with my guy Burrow, who, by the way, is Jefferson's age, so like they're friends probably, let's not get excited. Justin Jefferson sees Kirk as a geriatric.
I just find it interesting that you've got Everson Griffin ragging on Kirk on Twitter, dumping on him. You got Kyle Rudolph ignoring Kirk in a 2,000-word goodbye to all of his teammates. You got, yeah, you know, Diggs' passive aggressiveness and just outright. You got Jeff. I mean, there's a lot of signs that point toward teammates don't hate him necessarily, but they just think he's kind of a boob. Like, that's the way that I sort of interpret it.
But that's fair. But and, I mean, and Justin Jefferson's not going to jump in and be like, oh, man, you guys don't understand Kirk. He's a really cool guy. We hang all the time.
How many times have you heard a teammate or a coach come out and just like, besides Kyle Shanahan, how many times have you heard someone just come out and heap praise? Right now, it's does it mean that they're going to train wreck? Does it mean that he's a garbage quarterback? No, it's just it's interesting. It's an interesting look into how his coworkers feel about him.
The Griffin tweet was super telling. Like, that was, and to me, the biggest thing, when a guy who is approximately your age, Rudolph, Phil, leaves you out of a essentially a manifesto of your time here, I'm reading far more into that than what is basically a comment from Jefferson, knowing that Kirk probably is going to be gone in a year or two for sure, and they will never see each other again. Yeah.
His name is Kirk Cousins. He grills mystery meat. He has rock collections in the glass tube in his driveway.
Yes. I'm telling you, we should live our lives by that song. That's how we should live our lives.
Declan's cracking a seltzer, and he's going to cause hell again.
Good luck. Good luck not having that song in your head all weekend now, everybody.
What's the problem with that?
That's a wrap on today's episode of Purple Daily. Thanks for hanging out with us. And don't forget to click subscribe on our YouTube channel and give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts, if you will. And we'll see you guys next time.